Welcome to A Chat and Grind with Monique A.J. Smith with Sixers Blooms in Athletics and Sports right here in the garden. I'm excited. I don't know about you, but Al Jarreau just gets me going. That's off of his, that's the instrumental of his song, Dancing in the Garden. So I'm excited because I went ahead and bit the bullet and scheduled my flight to Houston the end of next month to be there for the Houston version of the Black Student Athlete Summit. So I'm excited about that. I really am. And it's great because I get a chance to lay my eyes on many of our members, and I'm excited about catching up and being a person. And it's going to be different because we're usually in January, but I'm just glad to be able to meet you all. And one of my clients is speaking, so I'm excited about that. I said, let me go and support my people. So that's what I have done on this last week of April to get ready. So May is busy as well. If you're searching for useful information about May Image and Likeness, I have contributed to the Show Me the Money NIL conference. Glad to be able to say that I have something to offer. And, you know, it's interesting because every time I tell my student athletes, I just spoke to one of my student athletes yesterday, matter of fact, and he said he, first of all, he asked me, could I do a TikTok with him? I said, what? Huh? Yeah, yeah. And then he hit a TikTok, and I pray he does not play it. Lord have mercy. Because I thought, you know, we're just going to do a video. No, he has somebody already talking over it, and it was cursing in it. And he said he wanted me to sit there and look at him like, you gonna do what? Which is not really acting. That's just how I am when they talk about some craziness. So, anyhow, he does this TikTok, and he tells me how many viewers he has on his TikTok. I said, well, that's nice. And then later on in the conversation, I said, well, make sure you tell one of my colleagues, who's also his teacher, something that you were talking about. He said, yeah, yeah, I'll tell him after I cut his hair. I said, you cut hair? Yeah, you know I said. No, I didn't know you cut hair. I said, well, that's what you put on your TikTok. Because today you're allowed to do that, and you're able to utilize your reach. You know, that makes sense. I'm like, I know it makes sense. Well, thank you so very much. But they just don't know about the possibilities. You know, what they think about May Image and Likeness is if it's going to fall right into their lap, a big brand. And that's why they still keep trying to jump from school to school to be seen. And I said, if you're trying to jump from school to school to be seen so that you can get a big paycheck, you can begin to do that yourself. And so that's what I'm going to be talking about on May the 14th on the Name, Image, and Likeness Conference, Show Me the Money. And I'm going to say, show me the possibilities. Because I'm telling you, when you look at things from a growth mindset, you'd be surprised what you can grow. I'm serious. So that's May the 14th, and it is virtual. Please go to GuiceWealthManagement.com, and that's G-U-I-C-E, WealthManagement.com. That's J-U-I-C, WealthManagement.com. So the young lady that I am going to support is Z Butler. She's presenting about identity, student athlete identity, on at the Black Student Athlete Summit in Houston at the end of May, and I'm really excited about it. And I was able to also to mention her book to my student because he was talking about, I was like, you're not the only one, honey. You're not the only one. It was talking about how he was the man on campus. No, well, he was the man in high school and how he struggled. He's a sophomore now, but how he struggled his freshman year. I said, you're the only person struggling. There's a thing called it. He said, really? I'm like, yeah. And there are tools to use. Really? I'm like, yeah. And so the work that we do as athletic administrators is necessary. It was necessary when they started it, and it's more than ever necessary now. And a moment of silence for these young people who feel like their voice is silent, and they go ahead and take their life. We got to be accessible. I was telling my students, I said, you got to do peer leaders. You know, you got to have bystander intervention training. And that's what I do, you know, when I'm called upon. I've been trained to do so. I said, because a person is not going to commit suicide if somebody's in the room with them. If you see somebody suicidal, you just sit with them. You ain't got to talk. You just sit with them. Because they're not going to do harm to themselves if anybody else around. You got to pay attention. You've got to pay attention. You got to know the signs. When a person feels helpless, you can see that. You can see that. So, you know, as my professor used to say, she didn't say special times. These are trying times. This is trying times, especially being athletic and you trying to get the email that you lost one of your own to take their life. We can't keep doing that. So even though I just finished talking about name, image, and likeness, we got to realize, number one, that if somebody else does something, it is likely that somebody else could copy that. So you need to have a conversation today with your student athlete about mental health, about taking your life, and identity. Because that's the key. If you feel as if you are no longer blank and you feel like you don't want to be here, you got to remind them that they're more than blank so that they realize there's life after whatever blank is. And let's be clear, it could be a relationship. So let's say I'm no longer a boyfriend, I'm no longer a girlfriend. But guess what? You're still a son or a daughter. You're still a friend. You're still an aunt. You're still a niece. You're still a cousin. You've got to remind them of all of that identity. So that being said, you know what's coming. They don't know what's coming. They're all excited, these high school kids who just signed to be on our campuses. But, you know, they're going to go through a little identity crisis and might as well prepare them. And V. Butler's book, 25 Tips for the Next Level Student Athlete, Welcome to the College Edition, okay, I just got a phone call. I hope that was not cut off. So let's go try that again. V. Butler has written a book, 25 Tips for the Next Level Student Athlete, Welcome to the College Edition, a transitional guide for high school athletes. And I've been reading a segment from here. This is tip 5. take advantage of tutoring or being tutored. One of the greatest benefits to being a successful student athlete is your access to many different things, such as tutoring. Athletes have to maintain a certain GPA to avoid being placed on academic probation. If help is needed, do not hesitate to ask ahead of time because it's available to you. Please note that if you want to be eligible to play, you must have the required GPA each academic year. Otherwise, you'll be placed on academic probation, meaning you have to sit out a semester and work on your grades. On the flip side of receiving a tutor, you can also be a tutor. There are two ways to tutor athletes: tutor other student athletes based on availability, or tutor teammates doing study hall. One benefit is that your institution may compensate you for your time. If they do, that's a quick and easy way to make a little money. For the most part, you should feel good about tutoring because you contribute to someone's success. Outstanding. So to get this book, and you can also buy in bulk for your student athletes, and now is the time, because I know this, that your budget will recalculate July 1, so minors will put it in now, because most everybody gets zero-based budgeting. So if you got some money in your budget, go ahead and buy the book now so you can be ready and send it out to your recruits or give it to them as soon as they come on campus. To get the book, go to payhip.com/theballcode. Again, payhip.com/theballcode. And I just had the pleasure of going to my hometown of Sussex County, Virginia, on Monday, and I led my signature workshop called Lead Your Ship. Not leadership, but Lead Your Ship. And I'm going to tell you, I was really impressed with these eighth graders. They're middle schoolers. And when I heard a young girl say, "I have a growth mindset," I said, "Girl, you on the right track. You on the right track." And a growth mindset is a person who seeks to grow, who seeks education. And, you know, I would say a book lover, but today, you know, if you're a connoisseur of some good podcasts, if you do audio books, I think go to webinars. You know, nothing wrong with television. But, you know, if you got some time and you go seek something that's going to grow you, that is called professional or personal development. And so I took the book by age of four, Success is My Major. And her whole premise of it is that your personal development is your personal responsibility. You know, somebody can entice you to read a book. Almost every young person I know, I say, "I'll give you money if you do a book report." Just trying to get them to stop loving reading. And I tell you, it worked for one of my mentees' child just won a book contest. It was like not a debate, but it was about books, and I guess it was like True Pursuit or Jeopardy. And she thanked my mother and I for always pouring books into her daughters. So Success is My Major is based on seeking professional development on your own. And she mentions a lot of good books. And so to get your copy of Success Major Book, go to successmajorbook.com to get your copy today. It's very, very worth it. And again, I must think so because I purchased the book for my participants in my workshop. You know, I could have given them anything on my bookshelf, could have given them magazines, you know, all of that. But I knew this book was something that would be helpful and plant the seed to lead others to greatness. And so I'm going back May the 9th. And my next workshop is called Voice of Your Fears to Lead Your Peers. And it's called Take the Mic. And I'm excited about introducing tools to these young leaders who are eighth graders in my hometown of Sussex County, Virginia. So, again, check out these two resources. Hey, we're back on Meet the Contributors tonight. Yes, yes, yes. Tonight is 6 o'clock. I have Dr. Cleta Moore. She's going to be talking about competency in the athletic training room. Yes, really glad to have her in the third issue of Significance in Athletics and Sports. And so she's going to be talking about her process in the magazine, why you should get the magazine. So that's 6 o'clock tonight. Meet the Contributors right on the private Facebook group, A Chat in the Garden. So please, please, please join. Speaking of the magazine, we have three issues of Significance in Athletics and Sports. They are all located on Amazon. And if you'd like to get the PDF version, you can go to payhip.com/Seeds of Empowerment to purchase your PDF version of Significance in Athletics and Sports. It never expires. I don't care if it's spring 2021 or spring 2022. All of the articles, except for maybe two, are written by Black Women in Athletic Administration, and it's about their specialized knowledge. It's about their intellectual property, what they have done for their institutions in different places, and, you know, what they're expert on. And that's why it does not have an expiration date. And I'm really, really proud of being able to display this in a format. And so get your copy today. Now, for those who are interested of being in the magazine, it is an investment such as being in an anthology. And I was thinking about doing an anthology, but I wanted to do a magazine instead because I could put pictures in there and we could, you know, name institutions and things of that nature. So I do have one spot left. So if you are interested and you think you can come up with 500 words between now and May 1st, because the first draft is all due May 1st. Yeah, May 1st. This is it. And so if you're interested in displaying your intellectual property, what you're really known for, what's your framework? Yeah, because what you get with this, you also get a session with me to help define your expert marketing. What's your frame? What's your five steps to do blank? What is something that you've been able to do with every institution you have ever worked with? What is something that people always ask you, can you show me how? Can you do this for me? That becomes your framework. And, hey, If you continue to put yourself out as an expert, guess what? You can earn another additional income stream. You can be a consultant. You can be brought in to speak, but you want to be known for a particular thing. And then you can branch off from that. I mean, but last week I did a workshop on how to build a team, entrepreneurship. But we need to find the one thing that you're expert on. So this is something that you're interested in, and you got time to pump out 500 words between now and May 1st, just email me, MoniqueAJSmith@SeedsOfEmpowerment.info. And I'd be glad to slip a time to talk with you to get you in the fourth issue of Significance in Athletics and Sports, which will come out August 2022. It's time to take control of your own health by getting all of the right stuff, And that right stuff will be fruits and vegetables in your body to bridge the gap between what you eat and what you should eat. So Jolene Robinson of Stepping to Win wants to coach you through this process. She's a retired winning college coach, and she has now dabbled into this area. Contact her at jrobinson@steppingandthenumber2win.com. steppingandthenumber2win.com, or you can text her at 980-298-2231. Again, 980-298-2231. Hey, I was delighted to listen to one of our longtime media partners, Tawana Smith, the author of the book Surviving the Lights, a Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoid the Curse. I heard her on a podcast yesterday and was delighted to hear she's got a second book in the running. I cannot wait. She said it should come out this spring. And to me, May is spring, but June is summer. So that tells me I got a little less than 30-some days to witness and have in my hand her next book. But to get you ready for her second book, you need to get this book, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoid the Curse by Tawana Smith. And she talks about preparing our athletes to be a professional athlete and how to help them select their team. That's key. And on this podcast, she even talks about name, image, and likeness. And I will tell you, because I read her book, it helped me come up with the mindset of things that I've been talking about as it relates to entrepreneurship with student athletes. Because the things that people think they're going to get when they go professional, it doesn't happen the way that we think. For instance, on a football player, you don't get paid until the whistle blows and you're on the field, for real. Now, interesting enough, and again, I'm about promoting and PR and marketing that comes to me naturally. I noticed how when they had the draft for the WNBA, they crafted it in a way to say they earn a spot for training camp. And so that was good. Because not because they're being truthful. Because you still got to earn your spot. And then you'll get paid. So, yeah. I think the acknowledgement of that, when you take that concept and think of all the professional sports, this is still the same concept, but it's not advertised that way. So you got to get your student athletes who are thinking about going professional. Get their mind right. Get them exposed. This book is in three different formats, audio, paperback, and audio. Yeah. Again, paperback, ebook, and audio on Amazon. And again, the NFL purchased this book for all of the attendees of the Celebration Bowl, were the participants, rather. And so if they purchased the book, that's an endorsement enough, I believe. So the time has come to meet my guest of today, and she comes highly recommended. And I'm really excited about having her. I am not sure that we have met. I feel like I have seen her present, at least virtual. And so I'm glad to bring to the garden Dr. Lacey Carmen Johnson, Manager of Basketball Advancement for Toronto Raptors. Welcome to the garden, Lacey.
Hi, Monique. Thank you so much for having me.
I am delighted to have you, dear, and I can't wait to hear about your journey. This is interesting. So,
you have time,
but
right?
I do have questions
time.
For you. Huh?
I say you have time, right? I hope.
Yeah. As I was saying, let me just jump right on in it because I have questions that people sent in. So let's just jump right in and tell the audience your career from college to now.
So I am originally from Texas. I'm a Beaumont native, so outside of Houston. Very clear to say I'm not from Houston. I'm from outside of Houston. But I went to Rice University. I was a student athlete there. I was a walk-on track and field athlete. Really didn't intend to do sport in college, but my roommates all did it, and they're like, hey, let's go talk to the coach and see. And I showed up the very first day of practice. I passed out. Thank God that's not indicative of the story that followed me for the rest of my career, but I actually ended up being a national qualifier. I got offered a full scholarship, and I turned it down because I was on a academic scholarship. I didn't want it to feel like a job. I was enjoying the role and the space that I played within the team, and I honestly, I took very, like, much pride in being a walk-on, and I've really kind of carried that mentality throughout my entire career. I wanted to be an orthopedic surgeon. I took a couple of science classes, and I was like, you know, doctors don't get to talk to people, and I want to talk to people. So I stayed in the major I was in because I was so far along, and I had a major interest in just, like, the learning about the human body. I thought it was great for me as an athlete to have a pretty solid understanding, but I added a psychology major in that, and then I had a professor who said, you know, you like to talk to people, maybe you should look at being a professor. And I graduated, and I decided that I wasn't ready to get a job yet. So I just continued my education. But in the process of getting my master's, I was offered a fellowship at Smith College in Massachusetts. So I left Texas, traveled all the way up north, and I had the ability in my first year to work in the athletic director's office. I was an assistant track and field coach, and I got to be a teaching fellow. So I taught a couple classes, and that really, like, kick-started what became my career over the course of the last 14 years. I've done a little bit of everything, and I've had a lot of people tell me along the way that you have to choose, you have to choose. And I was like, no, I'm going to show you I can be really, really good, if not great, at all of these things. And I actually left my grad program after a year because I got a full-time coaching job in what I had envisioned to be the best starting opportunity for me. Like a couple months before, I really kind of manifested, this is the type of place I want to work for my first job. And it came a lot sooner than I expected. So I had to make my first major decision in my life at 23 to leave a fully paid graduate program to go. But my compromise with my new boss was that he would allow me to finish my master's degree there, and he understood how important that was for me. And I went there. We won lots of championships. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better start to my career. He's actually retiring. So I was at Stephen F. Austin, and it's still Olson, and he was hands down one of the best bosses I've ever had and really, like, set the tone for me. So I left there, moved to Marshall University. I was still coaching, but I also had the ability to start – well, really to get into, like, a full-time teaching position there. I won't say start my teaching position because I started at the junior college level and did some GED classes while I was in Texas. But I got through Marshall. I coached my first two All-Americans and my last two All-Americans, and I remember leaving the track, and I thought, if I never coach again, I've done the work that I'm supposed to do. I'm not sure where God is leading me, but I think it's away from coaching. And I never thought that I would leave coaching. And got to Western Kentucky University, had the opportunity to start working in academic support. And within 2 weeks, I was like, what have I been doing with my life? Like, I get to impact 500 student athletes and really make a difference in their lives from an academic perspective. But really, I believe so wholeheartedly in holistic development for athletes. And there wasn't that student athlete development track there. So I had the space to be able to build it. But I not only got to build it, I got to finish my PhD, and I got to use, like, my faculty fund to do research in that space as well. And I got involved in M4A, and just all of the connections and the networking really just kind of helped to kickstart my career. After I left there, I went to Purdue University and had another amazing platform And just like open space to be able to build and create. And that's what I've done across the course of my career, is just be very innovative. I've been able to create a lot of programming very specific to the athletes that I was working with. And then even at Purdue, the coaching staff, because I got to do some staff and coaches development as well as do some DEI work there. And, you know, I had a call with the Toronto Raptors, and they had a position that was going to be coming available. And so I had a conversation, not necessarily for me, but because I thought I might be able to plug a friend of mine in, and here I am. you know, I've been in this role for 10 months now, I think, and it's been an interesting transition. I never would have imagined that I would be in the pro space, but again, having the opportunity to come and build something that's really outside of the box for what professional athletics does, and to really focus on setting them up for life after sport, to put in some programming and kind of some safeguards in place to really support our athletes. I mean, I think we do a great job of building and developing players on the court, and now we're really putting those resources into doing the same off the court as well. And it's been an incredible journey for me. I've had a lot of people who questioned a lot of things that I've done, but for me, I've continued to just stay the course. I own my decisions that I make, and I'm going to continue to do good work in whatever space that I'm in.
Well, see, that's great. You say you own it, because that's what I call my workshop: own your ship to lead your ship. And so, yeah, I thought you were going to say it. I was like, okay, maybe she didn't catch that. So let me see. That's key. You got to own your decision. And that, and then you have a sense of peace.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a question before we go to break, and then I'm going to share the question that came in. But I am curious, and I could discuss your doctoral dissertation, because I was asked two weeks ago to speak to Up to Us Sports to talk about recruiting strategies for women coaches. And I talked about this, and this is why I was like, oh my gosh, I got to talk about this with her. Female assistant coaches' experience with regard to work, family, encouragement. I don't know what I put. I got enrichment. Is that what that is? Enrichment?
Yeah, it's enrichment. Yeah, work, family, enrichment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And intention to lead. Can we talk about that first?
Yes. So when I was doing both my master's and my dissertation work, I was in coaching at the time, and so it was very near and dear to my heart to realize that there just weren't a lot of women coaches, and more specifically, there weren't very many Black women coaches. And so I just wanted to know why there's so many of us as athletes, but like when we get into the coaching space, the numbers just continue to dwindle. And so once I got to my dissertation work, I started to look at, like, assistant coaches for the first time ever were like at the highest number of like female assistants coaching female teams. And, you know, when Title IX happened, obviously it was like the numbers were really high, and then they just continued to drop and drop and drop. And there's more men coming into the field. But there's like women that are here and then we leave. And it's like, why are we leaving? So I know something very specific to women, and even something that we're dealing with right now, like in the professional space, is that we want to have families, and they're in the sports world, it's extremely challenging for women to continue to be really good and to climb the ladder while having a family. Like the industry just doesn't make it extremely easy for us. And so I wanted to know, like, okay, these conflicts that we tend to battle, like how does that truly like affect the numbers? And we always look at work family as conflict, but truly we should look at it as an interface, like how can they work together And so there's a different theory where you look at it from an enrichment perspective. And so it's a kind of putting a positive spin on it, and like looking at it and how can they combine together as opposed to how do you have to completely separate the two. And I think what I found is kind of in the research is that when you change the perspective on it, it really helps to like decrease your intention to leave, because you look at them as a conjoined pair versus like two completely separate entities. And personally, that's something that I think been able to do in my career. Like, I'm a proud mom, and my kids are going to be very involved in all that I do. I mean, they come to work with me, like all of my athletes know them, the staff knows them. And I don't keep like my work life and my family life very separate. Like, I think that not only in coaches, you know, also in all things, athletics, administration, front office, development pieces, it's really important to support our females in this space, whether that's like providing them with resources for childcare or just having a very family-friendly organization where it's okay if they bring their kids in, you know, if they have to. Like, sometimes it's tough for us, and it's just things that unfortunately, like, some of the men don't deal with as much, and that's not to say that they aren't good parents, but just as women, naturally, we're more of the child rearers, child breeders. So, like, I want not only this industry but just all industries to just continue to empower women to bring their best authentic self and to understand that, like, being a mom is a part of who we are. And that's not a bad thing. We can do really, really good work and bring different diversity of thought to organizations. And if we are supported in these ventures, as being a mom, and being a wife, being a partner, we can continue to grow not only ourselves but our industries as well.
So what did you do about traveling? That's the other part that usually stops. You know, one is about bringing in the campus, but what about traveling?
It honestly depends. When I was in the college space, I was able to bring my son with me sometimes in some of the things that I did when I just had one son. I have assistance with my kids so that I am able to travel with the team. But in the off season, when we do some different traveling ventures, like, you'll see not only the women, but you'll see like the men will bring their family as well. their families will meet them in the certain cities. And so, yes, we'll do our work, but we also have time to, like, show our families the things that we do and the cities that we go to and just really, like, kind of enjoy that. So you have to make a very, like, conscious and intentional decision to, financially to be in a right position to be able to do that. Like, it can be done, and you don't have to shy away from it that, like, oh, my gosh, like, I'm not going to get to spend time with my children. Like, I think I'm a pretty dope mom, and I have a pretty dope job, and I like to be able to combine the two, and my kids get to take part in that, and I'm going to try to include them wherever I can, whether that is traveling, whether that's going to a game, whether that's coming to a program at night, or that's taking part in a celebratory venture that one of my athletes have. You know, I want to be able to include my family in all of that.
That is so good, because that part about meeting you in different cities, is that what you do now?
Yes, we have the ability to do that. So. I have a kid who's eight, who's in school, so it's a little tougher. But like over the Christmas holidays, we happen to be playing in a city where we have family, so they met me there, and I got to spend that time with them. So works out. You just, again, looking at the schedule, finding ways and opportunities to make it work.
Yeah, being intentional, like you said, that's good. That's great, because that does lend itself to integration. And thank you for sharing that, because I know that's one of the things that will help with the retention of women in coaching. So I appreciate you doing that. So we're going to take really a short break here so I can pay some bills. We'll return we're going to ask some more questions of Dr. Lacey.
Did you know that athletic identity is one of the top three struggles athletes experience, especially in terms of their talent? My name is Deidreland Butler, and I am a former Division I NJCAA and NCAA women's basketball player. My book, 25 Tips for the Next Level Student Athlete, is a great resource for parents, coaches, and supporters to equip their college athletes. Pick up your copy at www.payhip.com/theballcode. Together, we can beat athletic identity.
What's good, family? My name is Aisha Ford, former student athlete and author of the book Success is My Major. Now, when I was a student athlete, I went on a mission to maximize my college experience and prepare for the real world by studying successful people. And I lay out everything that I learned in my new book, Success is My Major. Everything from leadership development, character development, understanding how to transfer the skills that I learned on the court, and how to use those in the real world. If you would like to learn more about the book, please visit successmajorbook.com or email me at aisha@successismymajor.com.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving the lights? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the chat in the garden with Smith and Blooms in athletics and sports. Well, Dr. Lacey, question. From Alexis March, she's a GA at Lincoln Memorial University. How do you use your background as a coach working with student athletes to aid in basketball advancement with the Raptors?
So obviously coming from the college space, going into the professional world, a lot of my players all come from the college space. So I have seen it as a coach. I've also seen it as an administrator in the college athletics realm. I've worked very closely with student athletes. And so when they sign their paperwork to be a professional athlete, they're no different than they were 2 minutes before they signed it, like coming out of college. So I've already like dealt with those athletes. I know what their dreams were when they came in. And so some of the same conversations that we're having at the college space, we can have at the professional space as well. So for us, one of the reasons why our department is called Wellness and Advancement is because we do believe in like the holistic growth of our athletes. And we want to advance them not just on the court, but off the court as well. Because at the end of the day, when we make things easier for them, more manageable for them off the court, we provide them with the resources and support that they need. We are advancing them as people, and then it shows up on the court as well because they're more comfortable in both spaces.
That was a great answer. And he said they were still 2 minutes before they were a student athlete.
They were.
So it's the same thing.
They were.
All right. So here we got Nate McGill, director of our association, assistant director of SOAR at Rice University. What's the best thing about transitioning to professional sports, and how important is work culture for you and how that changed from university to now the Raptors?
I think probably, well, first of all, shout out to all my Rice Owls. Nate, I appreciate you sending in the question. But I think probably the best thing in the transition for me has been the autonomy to just come in and build really without restrictions. I've been trusted, you know, like with the credentials and the background that I have to really come in and fill out, you know, what has been done and to really look at like what can we do to continue to get better. And to be able to do it without feeling like I'm questioned or I have to show all these extra credentials. Like, they hired me for a reason. They know I'm good at what I do. They know I bring, you know, in certain resources and capabilities and skill sets. And so that's been really nice, like that autonomy to have the ability to do that. I know sometimes in the college space we're limited, you know, limited mm-hmm. sometimes on resources that we have available. We're limited on the time because we're also wearing four other hats, and so you can't always mm-hmm. just focus on, you know, one or two things that would really, you know, make a difference in the lives of the student athletes. And that's been a great benefit, just having that support and having a boss that like truly believes in like who I am, what I stand for, and what I can bring to the table.
That really is lends itself a growth mindset when you can lead without restrictions. That's really a
yes.
lesson. Mm-hmm. Now, when you first said that about resources, I was like, but you can't only do one. But you have experience with Division III as well, correct?
Yes. And probably the best thing that ever happened to me in my career is the fact that I started at Division III. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I told you in that first year, I wore three different hats. I worked in the athletic director's office. I coached. And I also was a teaching fellow for, I think, three different classes. And I was a full-time mm-hmm. student. So I had to do a lot of stuff at one time. And then when I moved to a FCS school, so championship division. So, yes, I was at Division I, but still championship division and both subdivision are two completely different, mm-hmm. you know, resource sets. So we didn't have a ton, and I found myself, like, being able to do things in different spaces because we needed help, and I wanted to learn. And then when I moved to Western Kentucky and Marshall, again, they're football subdivision, but they're not Power Five. So I've moved up in my career, and I've been able to see more resources as things have come along. But, I mean, I remember being at Western Kentucky, and I did everything for $3.99. Like, that's one of the reasons I became such a great facilitator, because I had to figure it out on my own. And I also became a great networker with campus entities because I needed to utilize stakeholders from campus, from within the community, and I needed them to do it for free because I didn't mm-hmm. have money to do things. And then as a professor, you know, I got some funds for different grants that I could do some research, and that way I used the money to just buy food for the athletes to come mm-hmm. to different programming that I could showcase, like, how these different interventions could be helpful, which in turn has now helped their department. They actually have funds that are put in place for that. So I've done a lot of things for $3.99. I've done a lot of things maybe out of my own pocket, and I've had to do a lot of things myself without having to consult outside entities. Just because we didn't have the resources. So, yeah, you know, all Power Five is definitely, or not all Power Five, but all Division One is not created equally. And here we do. I, you know, this is the first time that I have, like, unlimited resources to do the things that I I can, but I'm also still really, really conscious of of not just blowing the bag on anything. Like, I'm not going to spend money on a speaker that I haven't truly vetted, I don't, you know, fully believe in, or, you know, maybe doesn't have, like, the greatest of reviews. Like, I want people who are going to come in and make a difference, and if I can get them for a limited cost, that's even better, because that's other opportunities that it opens up for me to provide for my athletes.
Well, it's funny because I bought a whole bunch of snacks. I use my students to help me in this Boo Williams Nike tournament, and I had 12 courts, and these kids were hungry, and they did not get the memo, bring your own snacks. So I bought like $60 worth of snacks, and I don't know if I forgot that I had another bag, but I came home with another little bag. But a whole bunch of Doritos, and I don't like Doritos. So I put the Doritos in a bag for my husband. He was like, where you get all these snacks from? I said, I bought it for my kids. Bought it for my kids. They can't be hungry. Because, you know, either they're going to leave and go get food, or they're not going to be able to do the work right because they're hungry. So that's how you can use your own resource.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think I have 9 minutes to ask this question here. You talked about a little bit about research. What was your master's and your doctorate on? Because I have a young lady, Mackenzie Rector. She is studying sports management education and relationship you have with faculty and classmates and how it impacts your success in the field. So I'm not sure if you did study sports management, but regardless, you know, share about the relationships and how it impacted you.
Yeah, I did. My master's was in education with a like kinesiology emphasis, so just a very like kind of well-rounded, not necessarily sport management per se, but took some classes in that particular area. And then my doctorate was with an emphasis in athletic administration. So yes, the relationships, the faculty relationships just in general, and stakeholder relationships, like just working in athletics, are huge. They've been huge to my career personally. I still have like great relationships with my professors from Rice University. I had one who hit me up on Facebook the other day and was like, let me know when you come back in town. You know, I'd love to catch coffee with you. And I'm like, awesome. But I think that the relationships like really impact everyone, but you have to put yourself out there sometimes to build those relationships. When your professor says they have office hours, or when they're going above and beyond to like really leave you feedback, or you know, staying around after class, like if you're running out of there and you don't want anything to do with them, or you're not putting yourself out there to create those relationships, you're really doing yourself a disservice. And so just, I mean, culturally, sometimes we go to class, we move on, or we do our jobs and we move on. But, like, relationships have benefited my career as a whole and have provided me with a space to continue to grow, to continue to move, to have different jobs and opportunities, to have my name in conversations that I never thought that they would have been in because someone else brought them up. And that's because I've been very intentional about meeting people, following up with people, and I think just even like student athletes need to do that. Like, folks know who you are, but you need to want to know who they are as well.
That's a good point.
And when you do that, yeah, and when you put yourself out there, man, I mean, people will bend over backwards for you just to know that you care about them, you have a genuine interest in what they're doing, and you never know how one conversation can really change the trajectory of your career.
Well, will you be at NAFTA this year?
I will be at NAFTA, so I'm looking forward to connecting with everyone in person. It's really, especially I'm in the N4A umbrella, and Mm-hmm. We have done everything virtual for the last couple of years, but I've been on so many virtual calls with people. I think I've, like, met them in person, and I realize I haven't met a lot of folks in person. So I'm really excited to just get in front of folks and be able to connect for the first time. And to I head the Student Athlete Development Programs and Practices Committee, so just to change the guard over to Alexander Martin for his leadership going into next year, but to really get to see all of the folks that I've been leading for the last couple of years.
That is excellent. Well, hopefully you can put on your calendar when you come to NACTA to come to the Chattanooga Gardner Listener Appreciation Reception. This will be our 8th annual. In fact, 2 virtual. And it will be Monday at 7 p.m. And as a Chattanooga Gardner podcast person, I'm sure people want to meet you in person.
Yeah, no, I would be happy to. I will actually, I'll put that on my calendar as soon as we finish up today so that I make sure I don't forget.
Outstanding. It will be held at my timeshare, which is like
okay.
One point. This time I didn't mess up because I didn't know Orlando had more than one convention center. So that was quite interesting. But this is 1.5 miles from the Mandarin Center Convention Center.
Okay.
So we should have a great time. So thank you so much for dropping in and sharing all of your good wisdom here in Chattanooga Gardens.
No, it was a pleasure being on here, and definitely look forward to meeting in person soon.
Outstanding. And thank you to our engineer, John Lou Harrison of Refined Solutions. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for show updates and podcast follow-ups. Join us on Facebook, A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.